first lesson this 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long? Will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back, those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? The psalm this morning is Psalm 82, and we will read this together. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk around in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I say you are gods, children of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals and fall like any prince. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations belong to you. The second lesson this morning is from Hebrews chapters 11 and 12. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Here ends the reading.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3, they will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I now invite any children who want to come up for the children's message to come forward. Do my kids want to come up? Any other kids? Yeah. As the kids are coming up, you may have, when you're hearing the text, you may think, that is why Pastor Kate's gone. That sounds like a hard text this morning to preach on. So I'm excited to see what Pastor John has in store for us. How are you guys doing this morning?
Fine.
Good. Did you guys do anything fun this weekend? Like what?
Going to Disneyland.
Going to Disneyland? That sounds like
fun. Well, I couldn't go to Disneyland because my pass was popped, but all blacked out.
Oh, no. Your pass was all blacked out. Good morning, guys. So this morning, we're going to hear Pastor John how we encounter evil and what Jesus says about that. But one evil I always think that you guys might interact with is, do you guys know, have a bully in your life? Or have you ever encountered a bully? Do you know what a bully is?
Yeah, a mean person.
A mean person? What were you going to say, Ben? Yeah, a bully is mean. Is there any other way you would describe a bully?
By asking them?
Is there any other words when you think of a bully? Does anything kind of somebody who's mean?
I was at McDonald's and I was in the play area talking, and some kid in an old shirt came up to me and started fighting me.
Oh, so you were at McDonald's and a kid came and fought you? That sounds kind of
like a bully,
right?
Yeah, and I did Taekwondo.
Oh, you did Taekwondo? I think that's what the wrong person apparently, right? So Jesus is teaching us how to encounter hate and evil. So one of the things that I was thinking about is how can we stand up to bullies? I know sometimes people teach us to stand up to a bully, maybe you need to fight them, whether you punch them back or talk back to them. But one thing I was thinking of a good way to stand up to a bully is not to fight them that way, but to stand with the person getting picked on. Because a bully sometimes tries to make you feel lonely, right? And all by yourself. Like, you have no friends, right? They try to keep people away from you. So one way we can stand up to a bully is to stand with the person getting picked on. And I know that can be hard to do, right? Because you don't want to get picked on either. Mm-mm. But it's good when we can stand up and stand with our friends, right? Stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So maybe one thing we can work on is if someone is getting picked on, we can try to be nice to them, right? Be their friend. Because it's hard to do, right? Because it might be easier to make fun of them with a bully, but it's good to show them God's love, right? And to stand with them. So that's one of the best ways to stand up to a bully, is to stay with people and make sure that they don't feel alone. So I appreciate you guys coming up. Are you okay if we pray? And then we're hear what Pastor John has to say?
Yeah.
Okay. Dear God, thank you.
Dear God.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
up to bullies.
They help us stand up to bullies.
By standing with our friends and brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ.
By standing with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Help us show them your love.
Help us show them your love.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for coming up, guys. You did awesome. Thanks, guys.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We Lutherans are such nice people. If we Lutherans were any nicer, however, we would probably be all but invisible. For many of us, our Lutheran parents and our Lutheran pastors raised us to be good, law-abiding citizens. Most Lutherans, however, believe that Lutheranism should concern itself more with spiritual matters. We Lutherans leave the matters of the real world up to our public school system, our police officers, and our politicians. Have we Lutherans made Jesus so loving, so caring, so gentle, so unthreatening, that we have made Jesus all but invisible? As a voting member of a typical congregational meeting of a typical Lutheran church, I do not know if Jesus would be so nice and quiet. Jesus said to those who dared to follow him, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." In the Old Testament, fire was an image of God's judgment. Jesus said, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." Those who followed Jesus could expect divisions, disagreements, and a lack of holy peace, even within their own families. Could Jesus have been speaking of our current self-induced political free-for-all? The day following the recent mass shooting in El Paso, Texas Representative Escobar said, "In this country, we have a gun violence epidemic, but we also have a hate epidemic." When a Lutheran pastor dares even to mention the current humanitarian crisis at our southern border, or when a pastor dares to mention the ethical issues of how our government spends trillions of dollars from your taxes and mine, or when a pastor dares to wonder out loud about what Congressperson Escobar names as both our gun violence epidemic and our national hate epidemic. After Sunday worship, Mr. Smith or Ms. Jones, or even both Mr. Smith and Ms. Jones, will corner the pastor. The church should only concern itself with spiritual matters. Jesus, however, saw no separation between faith in God and the issues of everyday life. The problem is that most of us first decide what we believe about our political issues, and then we let our political beliefs determine our faith. Jesus challenges you and me that it must be our faith that first determines our priorities. It must be our faith that first determines our politics. Have you and I made Jesus into such a nice guy that today Jesus is all but invisible? Has Emmanuel Church become so nice that people out there in the real world do not even notice you are here? I confess that this morning, Jesus makes me more than a little uncomfortable. Jesus is not content to let you and me go to work every day and leave our faith with the Bible on our nightstand or with the Bible forgotten on a bookshelf. Jesus is not content to let Emmanuel Church expect its pastor or its vicar to preach and teach so that Jesus never dares to challenge what you already know to be right. Jesus is not content to leave our world and to leave our beloved land up to well-intentioned but sometimes faithless politics. God has called you and me in holy baptism so that God's kingdom might come, regardless whether it happens to agree with your politics or mine. Jesus baptized you and me to be the embodiment of Jesus' love, to be the embodiment of Jesus' forgiveness in the ways we live together in this beloved land. Can we Lutherans be silent about those who suffer on both sides of our southern border? Can we Lutherans ignore the politics of our policies with regard to our epidemic of guns and our epidemic of hate? Can we Lutherans be silent in leaving the spending of trillions of dollars of your taxes and mine up to our politicians without calling them to task as Jesus would call them to task? Jesus is not content to be so nice that he is all but invisible. We Lutherans, as nice as we like to be, and this Emmanuel Church, as nice as I am sure you are, cannot be so content to be nice that at the center of our baptized life together, the cross of Christ is all but invisible. Jesus calls you and me to the urgency of our daily ministry. Jesus calls you to the urgency of the chosen priorities of Emmanuel Church. Jesus calls even us nice Lutherans to the urgency of how we choose to live together in this blessed land. Being a good Lutheran Christian is to be more than nice, to be more than quiet. In these troubled times, from this Holy Communion, Jesus sends out you and me to be more than a little different from most others. In these challenging times, marked with the cross in Holy Baptism, you and I are sent out to be the body of Christ, to be the forgiveness and love of Christ in the lives of others, to be the presence of Christ even in the lives of those Democrats, even to be Christ in the lives of those Republicans, even to be the presence of Christ in the lives of those Hispanics at our southern border, even to be the presence of Christ in the lives of those legal immigrants, and even more, you and I are sent out to be presence of Christ, even